أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الرضا عليه الصلاة والسلام:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
صديق كل امرئ عقله وعدوه جهله. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل
فرجهم. Tonight I would like to talk about our eighth Imam, Imam Abu al-Hasan Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjal farajah.
As we just passed his shahadat, every Imam is the Hujjat of Allah and His Khalifa and Vicegerent placed on the planet, having the jurisdiction of His Walayat and governance over the entire universe. And the entire universe and its existences are perfectly subservient and submissive towards any will and wish and irada of every Imam. But every Ma'soom has some specific attributes which are not found in the others. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam is no different in this regard. There are certain specific attributes which are found in his personality. But before I go to that point, it's important to mention a little profile of the Imam. His name is Ali, and his kunyat is Abu al-Hasan. And kunyat in Arabic means that we call somebody by mentioning the name of his son or daughter, the eldest son or daughter. That's the way we do respect in Arabic language, instead of calling somebody with his name, which is not as respectful in Arabic. You always call somebody by mentioning the name of his eldest son or daughter, the father of so-and-so. This term is called kunyat in Arabic. That's why we frequently use the kunyat for the Prophet Abu al-Qasim, for Imam Ali alayhi salam, Abu al-Hasan al-Awwal, isn't it right? For Imam Hassan alayhi salam, likewise for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for all the Imams, Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, and so forth. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam's kunyat is Abu al-Hasan, and his famous alqab and titles are Ghaydhul Mulhideen. That means the wrath of Allah on the agnostics. And also Qurratu Ayn al-Mu'mineen, that means a matter of peace and satisfaction for the believers. And the famous one is the title which we all know is Ar-Ridha. And apart from that, there's also narrated that his titles were Sabir and Fadil. And we have the hadith narrated from by Sheikh Saduq rahmatullah alayh, that Hassan al-Bazanti came and asked Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, that I heard people saying that your dad, Imam Ridha alayhi salam, was called Ridha. He was named with this laqab and title by Mamun Rashid, his killer. After he appointed Imam Ridha to be his Waliul Ahad, that means second in power to the throne. And Imam Taqi alayhi salam replied that people are lying, I swear to God. In other words, so he, Imam, was mentioned or called Ar-Ridha. He was given the name of Ar-Ridha by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, as a general concept, it has to be in our minds always that the names and titles of all the beloved personalities of Allah, Awliyaullah, are always assigned by Allah Himself. Allah does not leave it blank for the people to assign. And Imam alayhi salam said that Allah was pleased with him in the heaven, and Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, Prophet and the Imams, were pleased with him on earth. So that's the reason what Imam mentions in his hadith, why he's called, why he was named Ridha by Allah Himself. Then this narrator, Hassan al-Bazanti, he says to the Imam that, well, isn't that right that all of you Ahlul Bayt, Allah is pleased with all of you? So why did Imam Ridha alayhi salam get singled out and he is the only one who is called Ridha? So that's where Imam alayhi salam elaborated that Imam Ridha was beloved, and he was such that even the mukhalifin, even those who were the opponents of the Imams, were pleased with him. So it's not only the followers of the Imams were pleased with him, but also the opponents of the Imam were ravi and pleased with him. So basically, that's the reasoning that is provided by Imam Jawad alayhi salam himself in his hadith. So this is one of those specific attributes that are never found with any other Imam. And these are some special arrangements from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he arranged this situation to happen for his eighth Imam, that even his enemies are ravi with him. And in another narration we find that another Sahabi and companion came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Ibn Salit. And he said to the Imam, that you Ahlul Bayt are Tahir and Ma'soom, I would like to request you, I'm paraphrasing this in all these narrations in my own words, so I would like to request you to inform me who is going to be the Imam after you so I can transfer this information to my later generations. And that's where Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, these are my children, and this one is the great among them, pointing towards Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. He is the great one. And in him lies the knowledge, the ilm, the hilm, and the jood, and the fahm, and ma'rifat. The knowledge, the patience, and generosity, and the understanding, and ma'rifat, in-depth recognition. So not everybody understands Islam correctly. Isn't that right? There are lots of people who are worshipping. We call them abid in Arabic. Ibadat kunanda, person who is doing worships of God. There are a whole bunch of abideen in this planet. And there used to be a lot of silly worshippers around, even in the time of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, who were busy in their own worships and ignoring what were more important than those of the worships that they were performing, ignoring those of the duties. So this is about the understanding of Islam, fahm. And so Imam Kazim alayhi salam was described by his father that he has the understanding. And he has what the people stand in need in their disputes. Human society naturally has disputes. It's very hard for two people to come to an agreement if there is lack of the purification of the soul. The prime reason why we differ with each other is not the number. It's not the count of the people present in a community, like it's often said by some, if the community increases, they end up having more disputes. Now, that's not true. That's not at all true. Well, the prime reason for disputes taking place in the communities is the lack of the taharat and cleanliness of the soul. If that taharat and cleanliness is found in a small number or a large number, there will be no dispute. And if there is a lack of taharat and cleanliness of the soul, even in a small community, you will find disputes taking place. Isn't that right? So there was a joke that some alim went into a village and he inquired from the people, how many houses of Shias, how many mu'min houses are available in this town? And they replied, there are 30. And he asked, how many organizations are there? And they replied, 31. So it's not about the numbers. Even in less numbers, you can expect disputes taking place because of the lack of taharat. This is called the lack of shu'ur-e milli, collective awareness of a community. Why you find so many uprisings take place in various nations every now and then, and they get crushed by different kinds of dictators and zalimeen and the puppets of different tahuts throughout the passage of the history, because the collective awareness is what is missing in the community, which is provided by the leadership. And because some of the nations do not have a leadership to follow, they will never end up having a successful formation of Islamic governance in their nations and countries. So, shu'ur-e milli, collective approach towards the social affairs. It has to be crystal clear in the minds of my youth and the elders that in Islam we have personal obligations and there are social and political obligations. Unless and until we are socially aware, we have the Islamic civic sense in the true sense of the word, and we perform our social obligations and political obligations, forget about getting mu'azzaz, honored or elevated, and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Imam of the time. Because we don't get mu'azzaz and dignified in the world by performing personal ibadat. And social obligations are such that even though the community may be performing social, personal ibadat, personal worships, as long as they are ignoring the social ones, even the abrar will be persecuted and punished along with the ashrar. That's part of the phenomena of Islam. Now the good doers, gehun ke saath ghun bhi piske rahega. That's bound to happen. If the people of Kufa are not performing, they are performing personal duties of Islam and praying and fasting and doing hijab and going for Hajj. Although none of those duties are in the real, real sense personal in nature, but that's what the people perceive. Isn't that right? So people perceive them to be personal in nature, doesn't cause any harm for their quote-unquote material interests, so it's easy. It's Islam of the convenience, so we can follow it. Isn't that right? So as long as the people of Kufa is busy in their personal nature of worships of God, but they're ignoring the collective social responsibility, even Imam Hussein will get slaughtered next door of Kufa. Despite the fact Imam Hussein is infallible and has zero fault. So this has to be crystal clear in our minds. 11 of Imams have become shaheed already. So what makes you as a nation of Islam mu'azzaz and dignified in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt, in the eyes of Allah, is your collective awareness, which will lead you towards collective responsibilities in terms of the social and political arenas. That's how you get dignified. So Imam has Imam Kadhim alayhi salam was introduced as he's the person who has what it takes to remove all the differences in the community. The walayat of Ahlul Bayt, the concept of walayat and imamat in Islam, is the key to remove all the differences in the community. So there will always be people who will still disagree with what Imam is going to say, isn't it right? There were so many people who used to disagree with the prophets of God, with the Imams among Ahlul Bayt, isn't it right? Barely few people followed the prophets and the path of the Imams. Prophet passed away, and among the city of Medina, there were 12 people, exactly 12. Not a single man more. 12 only in the city of Medina, among the men who stick to the walayat of Ghadir, of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Only 12. Mentioned in the hadith of Imam Bakr alayhi salam by their names. Who cares about the numbers? Are we here to care about numbers? No. Let's have the basirat. We are undergoing the months of Muharram and Safar, and now we enter into Rabiul Awwal. So we commemorate the services of Imam Hussein and Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. Like Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu alayhi used to say, "Ma harche darimas Muharram Safaras." Whatever we have is due to Muharram and Safar. So everything that a believer has today, everything that we have is because of Imam Hussein and because of Hazrat Zainab. Nothing but because of those two. So we need to understand what difference it makes for me to believe in Hazrat Zainab in my life. Is there a difference taking place in my everyday life and policies of life? Do I believe in the applied science? Am I applying the policies of Hazrat Zainab? Am I applying the policies of Imam Hussein on my everyday life? Or is it just a business as usual? I come to a madlis in the Husainiyya, in the masjid, listen to a bunch of speeches and go back. No lessons learned, no experienced, no experiences gained, and nothing improving in the nuraniyat of the person. And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to that he, talking about Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, his son, he is a door among the doors of paradise. So what I was saying to you is that even though the Imam is the one through his walayat, the differences are removed, there will still be people not following him. But then the hujjat is complete. See, what we have a responsibility on our neck, on our shoulders, in the towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to make sure we perform itmamul hujjah, fulfilling the evidence. That's our job. We're not here to force the people to accept the walayat and imamat. That was not the job of none of the prophets, none of the imams. So we are here to do itmamul hujjah, to make them understand if there were a bunch of people who were spreading fabricated things in the name of Islam, then there were others as well who were talking about the pure Muhammadan Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam of the values of Ahlul Bayt. Islam which is basically not going to stay silent on any zulm and oppression. Just like Hazrat Zainab, who is tied up, his hands are tied up, and you know, she's carried as a captive in the bazaar of Kufa and Sham, and she is tied up in chains, isn't that right? But when it comes to Ibn Ziyad, when it comes to the oppressors available, did you ever find in a single incident Hazrat Zainab staying silent? Can you find a single incident in the life history of Hazrat Zainab staying silent over the zulm and just let it go? Despite the fact she is a captive. See, when we get persecuted, we take a back seat. Usually, some people are like this, because now they are under pressures and depressions. But she is already a captive, and not just the captive, but even tied up in chains, surrounded by her enemies and killers of her brother and her family, in the worst possible situations and audiences. But did she ever stay silent? That's the Islam of Hazrat Zainab. That's the Islam of Imam Hussein. It's a collective awareness. There has to be a collective awareness in the Ummah to stop this incident taking place, what happened towards Imam Hussein and Hazrat Zainab. Unless and until there is a azm-e-milli and shu'ur-e-milli, collective awareness in the Ummah, not personal awareness. Personally, you may be, you know, performing your set of obligations, but there will be zero benefit for Islamic Ummah for your personal obligations, as long as you are not performing your social obligations towards Islam. Even the Imam is going to suffer. Even the Imam of Muslimin is going to be slaughtered, possibly by the enemies, as long as the society collectively is not ready to perform the collective obligations. So we find, we are going through the month of February, isn't it right? It's a month of the revolution as well. In the same time when people were suggesting Imam Khomeini to stay, people were suggesting big time. I hate to take the names. I don't want to take the names. Who was saying what? Which can also be mentioned if time requires. Who was saying what? People were suggesting to the masses to stay in their homes when Shahpur Bakhtiar handed over the government Shahpur Bakhtiar commanded that there has to be a shoot on sight curfew enforced. And that's where the policy of this pure Muhammadan Islam came in. Where he said, when some others heard that, they said, it's very safe to be at your home tomorrow, because tomorrow is a curfew enforced by the government. Whereas when he heard that announcement of the illegitimate puppet government, the follower of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who understands, who has the in-depth understanding of the religion of Ahlul Bayt and Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he learns the announcement of the puppet government, he said, tomorrow it's haram to stay in your houses. That's how the difference takes place. Spreading the collective awareness in the community. And women came out with their babies in their laps. Yes, there were people becoming shaheed, but that's a shahadat for a noble cause. And now the rest of the generations will enjoy the fruits of their sacrifices. So we find, Imam said, Allah is going to bring out the helper and rescuer. Imam Salih is saying to Imam about Imam Qasim alayhi salam, he has something better than all this. After mentioning all those attributes and things, at the end Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that he has, that means his son Imam Qasim alayhi salam, he has something better than all that. What is that better thing? When Yeah. What is that better thing that he has in him, this guy after Imam Sadiq alayhi salam? And he said, Allah is going to bring out from him the rescuer of this ummah, the helper of this ummah. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam, we understand, is the rescuer of the entire Islamic ummah. It's through him that the whole ummah of Rasulullah, after a long lapse, was rescued finally. So this required understanding, again, understanding of the policies of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And not to not allow anybody in the community, not allow any of those incompletely qualified Hawza dropout mullahs to come on the pulpits and members and misinterpret a seerah to siyasiyah, the political seerah and policies of Ahlul Bayt, and derail the community collectively from the pure Islam of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam. This cannot be allowed. Those who are the warith of Islam will never allow disinformation flowing from the member. There will be some who will taking a stand and not let the harams in the name of Ahlul Bayt mentioned from the member. So we find there were a bunch of people who say, no, Imam Ridha alayhi salam also supported Mamun al-Rashid. See, himself, he became second to the in power to the throne, Waliyul Ahad, isn't that right? So he's supporting of the Tahut himself in his lifetime. But forgetting the basic fact that Imam Ridha alayhi salam was forced to death by Mamun al-Rashid. And it's only when he was forced to death and threatened to be killed that he accepted after insisting. So he flatly refused to become, and then after he was forced to death and threatened to death by Mamun, the Tahut of that time, who was fooling the masses and came into the power by misusing the sweet name of Ahlul Bayt, that we are going to take revenge for the sake of Ahlul Bayt. And the people are simple-minded, lacking the shu'ure milli, the collective awareness of the religion. They get fooled. The muttaqeen never get fooled. Let's be very clear. Throughout the history of humanity, and over the passage of time, you look into the history of the prophets and the imams, it never happened once that any muttaqi person gets fooled. Al-alim bi-zamanihi la tahjumu alayhi al-lawabis. That's the sifat of a knowledgeable person, that all the various confusing scenarios doesn't fool him, doesn't deceive him. That's the sign of your knowledge. If a person gets deceived, it's the sign that he's lacking taqwa and he's lacking knowledge of the religion and the concepts of the religion. So we find that Imam Ridha alayhi salam was finally forced and to migrate from his hometown of Medina and commanded by Mamun to be taken from the route where there are no Shias living in those cities and areas. And if you guys happen to follow the route where there are Shias living in those neighborhoods, then you have to cross Imam Ridha alayhi salam from those cities in the night time where the people are sleeping. So how much, see the Tahuts are how much sharp and intelligent and smart. Eh? Even Saddam used to understand that Namaz al-Jumu'ah in Islam is a political issue, isn't it right? The Tahuts are not dumb. So he puts a ban in the entire country of Iraq, then nobody can lead the Jumu'ah prayers. Why? Because Saddam can understand that much of the Shia religion, that the second sermon in the religion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the second sermon of Salatul Jumu'ah has to be political. And if I allow it, there will be people talking against my government. So let's put a ban. Nobody can say the Jumu'ah prayers at all. And just run away from that. Isn't that right? So Saddam has a better understanding of the Shia religion than some of the Shias who are still praying behind those Salatul Jumu'ah where there's no political duty ever mentioned in the second sermon. As if they're trying to reinvent the wheel. Your actions speaking louder, you are with your actions proving that you want to invent a new religion in the presence of the religion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. That Saddam can understand. Isn't that right? So Tahuts are not silly and dumb. They had that much sense to adopt policies. Is that right? These are, when we talk about Imam Ridha alayhi salam, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, these are the best opportunities, brothers and sisters, to learn why the Ahlul Bayt went through all that hassles and hardships in their lives, so that we don't end up giving the similar hassles to the Imam of our time, who is forced to stay in the hiding because his nation is not prepared. Although you go to almost every organization and they say, Hamari to anjuman Maula Imam Sahib Zaman ki sarparasti mein chal rahi hai. Our organization, this is running solely under the leadership and supervision of Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam. Isn't that right? It's easier said. Isn't that right? So that's the way, I mean, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep Imam Mahdi in the ghaybat. It's wajib on Allah to keep his imam in the ghaybat, because an imam whose nation is not ready, he should not appear. We thank Allah on doing what Allah is doing rightfully. Unless and until people learn a lesson and open up their eyes from the 11 experiences we had and 124,000 experiences we had earlier. So we find that the Tahuts had quite some level of smartness. So Mamun is asking Imam Ridha to be taken on those of the routes where there are no Shias inhabiting there. Or if there are, you happen to follow, then he has to be crossed in night time. So no Shia should be allowed to come and even pay a visit to Imam Ridha alayhi salam for a minute. Let's not allow him to spread his understanding of Islam to the masses. Let's allow us only to disseminate and spread the Tahut-friendly, Zulm-friendly Islam and its policies in sweet-sounding slogans to continue deceiving the masses. Isn't that right? So that's the way they were doing it. And we find Imam alayhi salam, Muammar ibn Khallat says, whenever Imam alayhi salam used to eat food, before starting the food, he used to collect the best of the foods from the food spread, gather it in a kas, in a bowl, and send the food first to the masakin of the city, the poor, destitute people of the city, and recite the same ayat of Quran which this brother was reciting in the beginning of this majlis. فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةَ فَكُّ رَقَبَةٍ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَةٍ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَةٍ. Every time Imam Ridha alayhi salam, see how the Imam cares about others. Before starting the food, gathering the best of the foods first in a bowl, send it to the destitutes first before you take the first loaf of bread. That's why they have those. These are and the likes are the reasons why they have that much nuraniyat. So people are ready to do simpler things. فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ. People tend to avoid the hard, seemingly hard Islamic tasks. Yeah, if any task is assigned in the Islamic center to a bunch of people, there are some people who are ready to take the simpler one and leave the harder one for anybody else to volunteer ahead of them. This guy who behaves like this towards any khair and goodness must understand that he is mahroom. He is mahroom from that level of khair. Instead, a mu'min is supposed to be sabiq, taking a lead over the khairat. Any good action and you have to be the first to do it ahead of the others. So we find Imam alayhi salam used to send and then recite this ayat. He recited this ayat and then he said that Allah was aware that not everybody can set free a slave. See, slavery is condemned in Islam. Selling and buying of a human being is haram in the Sharia. But Islam took a gradual stance against this problem and evil of the society and gradually eradicated this evil. So that was a wiser strategy adopted. So basically, setting free of the slave is so much sawab and reward in Islam. So Imam alayhi salam said, Allah knew that not everybody could do that. So he provided an alternative from that. So not everybody has that much money to purchase a slave and set him free and get those rewards. So Allah has provided an alternative. Okay, you cannot set free a slave. You can give food to some miskin person. What about an orphan in your family? An orphan in your family with whom you are related. Can you find a single family in the planet Earth who has no orphan? I doubt if you can find a single family in this whole world where there is no orphan remaining. Almost in every family there are some orphans. Isn't it right? People are dying. Every day, the death count is there. How many people are ready to take care of the orphans of their own family? How many people pay a visit to their own orphans? Did we take out time in our busy schedules to just go and pay a visit to one orphan and just see and witness with our eyes how much pain that family is going through? And instead of you asking your dua yourself from Allah, you help the orphan child and let the orphan child raise his hands for you. And this dua reaches straight to the arsh and throne of Allah. It's unstoppable. That's how your duas get forgiven, accepted. So these are the values that people don't care about. Some people don't care about. So likewise, miskinan za matrabah. So we have so many destitute people who have no place to live in, no shelter, no food. Basic necessities of life are just missing. And there are some others who have so much more than their necessities that they are making their savings account thicker and fatter. Investments getting bigger, isn't it right? There are some others who are suffering and some others who are saving. Didn't the Prophet say, الدِّرْهَمُ وَالدِّينَارِ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ? The gold and the silver coins have already destroyed those who were before you. وَإِنَّهُمَا مُهْلِكَاكُمْ? And certainly those two are going to destroy you as well. That's an undeniable prophecy of the Prophet whom the idol worshippers of Makkah burying their daughters alive, but still they used to call him a truth teller and sadiq. So the money is going to destroy if we get attached. We need to understand, we need to detach ourselves from these attachments in order to reach the highness and do the hard tasks. In the Ibadat, Jabir ibn Abi Dhahak says that in all the prayers and all the 5-time daily prayers, Imam Ridha alayhi salam in the first rakat after Suratul Hamd, he used to read Suratul Qadr, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. In the second rakats, in the 5-time daily prayers, he used to read Suratul Ikhlas, Qul huwallahu ahad, after Suratul Fatiha. This is the guy who is accompanying Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and he's going to report to Mamun Rashid. When finally he brings Imam Ridha alayhi salam to the city of Marv, which is the capital of Mamun. So he's accompanying Imam Ridha and is watching what Imam is doing. Imam is under surveillance, constant surveillance of the puppets of Tahut. So this guy who is watching Imam Ridha is the one who is saying that on the day of Jumu'ah, Imam alayhi salam, in the Fajr prayers and the Dhuhr prayers and the Asr prayers, used to read. See, the Tahuts never allowed the Imams to lead the Jumu'ah prayers. Let's remember the fact. Imam Ridha was never allowed by the Tahut to say the Jumu'ah prayers. So in the Fajr prayers and the Dhuhr prayers and the Asr prayers, after Suratul Hamd in the first rakat, he used to recite Suratul Jumu'ah. In the second rakat, Suratul Munafiqeen after Hamd. In the Isha, he used to read after the Suratul Hamd, Suratul Jumu'ah, and after in the second rak'at, after Suratul Hamd, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. That's what Imam used to recite. And he says he never used to spread his legs in front of anybody when he sat down during the travel. And he always used to sit along with the slaves. See, there were a bunch of slaves who were also walking in the caravan. This is the part of, this is the sign of tawadhu and modesty and being down to earth. So he's ready to sit with the slaves just like the Prophet used to do and eat food with the poorest of the poor. So that's how Imam Rifa alayhi salam, on the footsteps of his great-grandfathers. So, and every time he says, he in the Fajr prayers, Imam, after he was done with the Fajr prayers, he used to put his head in the sajda and continue doing long, long, prolonged sajdas until the sunrise. Remember when the Holy Prophet has said, when somebody came and said to the Prophet, Is'alillaha an yudkhilani al-jannah. Somebody came to the Holy Prophet and said, pray to Allah that Allah sends me to the paradise. Prophet said, I will, walakin a'inni bi kasrati sujood. That means, I'm going to pray for you that Allah sends you to the paradise, but you need to help me. You have to help me, Prophet said once. You have to help me through abundance of sajdas. And Islam is a value among the great divine values that we perform in our loneliness. We perform lengthy sajdas where nobody else is watching us. This decreases the burden of sins that we are carrying on our backs. Prophet used to see the realities of the ma'asi and sins in the form of all the chains. The chains, إِذِلْ أَغْلَالُ فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ وَالسَّلَاسَلُ يُسْحَبُونَ. There are chains that people have. You know, what Imam Ali al-Islam says in Dua Kumail, وَقَعَدَتْ بِي أَغْلَالِي. The chains of sins have made me bogged down to get stuck with the earth. No movement forward. No elevation towards Allah. No closeness to God, in other words. There are chains of sins which are there. We don't see any chain of sins on anybody, on ourselves. Again, because of the curtains and hijabat, dabiz parde gunahon ke, the thick curtains of sins which are there, blocking our vision to see the realities of the malakut, of the hidden reality of the heavens and earth. Prophet used to see, Imam Rida used to see, well, they don't have any sins, but they are teaching us. Of course they are doing it for the sake of Allah. But every dua of theirs is actually ta'limi. They are teaching us how to pray. So in the Qunut, Jabir ibn Abi Dhahak says that Imam, in all the prayers he used to read this dua, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ وَتَجَاوَزْ عَمَّا تَعْلَمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزُّ الْأَجَلُّ الْأَكْرَمُ. Oh my Lord, forgive, have mercy, and ignore what you know. Allah knows everything, isn't that right? Those are the things that I can hide from the community, and I try to run away with what I did in the loneliness. If people knew even a sin of a person that he did in the loneliness, I assume some people will even end up not even saying salam to each other if we discover one of the sins about each other. That's the way some people are so, you know, intolerant. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much merciful that He knows all that. But He ignores so many of our sins. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ وَتَجَاوَزْ عَمَّا تَعْلَمْ. تَجَاوَزْ, you know, ignoring the sins of others and accommodating and tolerating it, forgiving it. Such a great sin. If we forgive the sins of others, you know, a little bit dispute taking place between husbands. So many divorces are taking place among the youth who are born and raised in the US. Unfortunately, the divorce rate is higher than those people who came from different Islamic countries having the arranged marriages. It's a bitter truth. Why? The lack of knowledge about Islam. Lack of the information about huquq and fara'is. I don't want to go to a different tangent. But what I want to say is that a little dispute taking place between husband and wife, and you find things are getting so much apart from each other. This is not what the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have taught us. We need to have tolerance. We need to have tolerance towards each other. We need to ignore so much of each other. And where he didn't used to pray in during the safar and travel, he did not used to pray the nawafil al-yawmiyyah, nahariyyah. That means the nafilah of dhuhr, 8 rakats before the dhuhr. Nafilah of asr, 8 rakats before asr prayers, 2 rakats, 2 rakats, 2 rakats, 2 rakats. Jabir ibn Abi Dhahak is narrating, Imam Ridha did not used to pray, so it's not part of the sunnah of Rasulullah either. So we also do the same, and when we are musafir, when we are Islamically considered to be a traveler, quote unquote, we drop the nafilah of dhuhr and nafilah of asr. That's how Imam Ridha did. Instead of those, if you see, during the safar and travel, after the prayers of Dhuhr and Asr and Isha, which are shortened and become Qasr, so we pay 2 rakats. So Imam Ridha used to recite Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar 30 times after each of those prayers. This is the sunnah, we need to do the same. And he used to recite, Jabir says, Bismillah in every prayers loud. That's the part of the alamat of a Shia. That's one of the distinguishing attributes between the Shias and the rest of the sects. We are the ones who recite Bismillah Rahman Rahim in every prayers loud and clear.
Muhammad Ali Muhammad
Salawat.
And whenever Imam used to read Surat Qul Allahu Ahad, whenever he used to read Suratul Fatiha, after that, when he was done, he used to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Whenever he used to read Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Allahu Ahad, he used to say slowly, the narrator says, slowly when he used to recite the ayat, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Slowly he used to say, Allahu Ahad. Allah is one, Allah is alone. The ayat is saying, say, Hu Allah Wahad, He, Allah is alone, one, the only one. That's what ayat is commanding to say. So Imam used to obey the command of Allah and slowly say, Allah Wahad. And narrator says, whenever he, after he used to finish the Surah Al-Ikhlas, then he used to say, Kadhalik Allahu Rabbuna 3 times. Whenever he used to recite during the travel, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Allah is commanding, say, O you, the kafirs, Imam used to say, Ya ayyuhal kafirun, obeying the command of Allah. Whenever he used to recite this surah, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, Imam used to say, after finishing the surah, Allahu Rabbi wal Islamu Dini. Allah is my Lord, and Islam is my religion. That's what we learn from the surah, isn't it right? That's one of the benefits we learn from the surah. And after he used to recite Surah At-Teen, Wat-Teen was Zaytun, Imam used to say, Bala wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahideen. Yes, and I am one of the witnesses upon that. And whenever he used to read Surah Al-Jumu'ah and recite this ayat, Qul ma indallahi khayrun min al-lahwi wa min at-tijarah, min al-lahwi wa at-tijarah. Whatever Allah, whatever is with Allah is better than love, the amusement, the things that engage us away from the remembrance of Allah. That's the literal meaning of love. Anything that engages you away from the remembrance of Allah. So Imam used to say, so ayat of Quran is saying, قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, whatever is with Allah, say whatever is with Allah is better than love and business. So Imam, after reading this ayat of Surah Al-Jumu'ah, he used to say, لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, for those who have taqwa. So for those who have taqwa, what Allah has is better than business and love. And then he used to say, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, and Allah is the best sustainer. That's, see, people are compromising over their values when they go towards their jobs and workplaces because they think they're going to lose their job. As if the job and risk is in the hand of the humans. See, every problem we face in our practical lives has to take its roots in one or several problems that we face in the Islamic belief system. This guy has a problem with the attribute of Allah being Ar-Raziq. He failed to understand that Allah is Ar-Raziq. If he did, he would never take this kind of stance in his practical life. So your actions are never disconnected from your belief. Any loose action reveals there's a loose belief deep down in your soul. If the belief was not loose, you will never end up having a loose action. So we need to get back to the roots. Every time there is a loose behavior in practical policies of life, get back to the usul ad-din. Resolve the problem from the roots first, and you will find corrections automatically arriving in your practical lives. So we find that whenever Imam Jabir ibn Abi Wahhak says, whenever Imam Ridha alayhi salam used to recite this ayat of Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, Allah is addressing the mu'mineen, O you who believe. Imam used to say, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Here I am, my Lord, here I am. Let me ready in your service, obeying, ready to obey your command. This is the kind of tilawat this is the kind of recitation we were obliged to do, we were asked to do, we were expected to do. See, Allah is talking to us. When Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, are we responsive? Imam used to respond every time to Allah. So he's taking directly, taking the conversation directly addressed. He is the best of the misfaq, obviously. And when Jabir ibn Abi Dhahak arrived the city of Marv, the capital of Mamun, and he narrated this whole narration that I told you, Mamun said that Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam is the best of the people of the earth and the most knowledgeable and the best of the worshippers. This is what the fadilat and superiority is. That even your killer, even your future murderer, your to-be assassin, who is going to murder you tomorrow, even the worst of the enemies you have on the planet, is confessing the superior spiritual highness that you have. That's how the Ahlul Bayt were. So we find that Allama Madlisi narrates that when, you know, sometimes Mamun Rashid used to have ghadab and anger over Imam Ridha alayhi salam. That was a frequent story found in the history of so many of the Imams, that the Tahuts used to forcibly invite the Imams into their darbar to insult them and to demean them, humiliate them in front of their people sitting in their darbar. And Mamun invited Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and Lama Madlisi says Imam recited this dua of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ghadab and anger of Mamun calmed down because of this dua of Imam alayhi salam. Billahi astaftihu wa billahi astanjihu wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi yatawajjahu. Allahumma sahhil li hazunata amri kullihi wa yassir li su'ubatahu, innaka tamhu ma tasha'u wa tusbit wa indaka ummul kitab. Such a beautiful dua. So, bottom line, we learn from this practice that they used to turn to Allah in their hard times, not to the people. When we faced hardships in our life from any tahut, instead of turning to people and buttering up towards their policies and selling our value system for the sake of the tahuts and expecting them to resolve the problems, we need to look at the seerat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. How did he used to behave when he was persecuted by the tahut of his time, turning to Allah and seeking dua from him? So we find that the speech is coming to the end. Imam alayhi salam honored some of those great shu'ara who were writing poetries based on haqq and truth. like Qi'bal al-Khuza'i. And it's not a matter of surprise why saying a rhyme, a qasida, a poem for the sake of haqq and support of Ahlul Bayt's walayat will earn you the paradise if you have the ma'rifat of the Imam. It's not a matter of surprise how and why poetry has that much reward. Well, poetry in those days was, and even today, was very effective. And especially in the cases when, like, Di'bal is reciting the Qasida Mudarisul Ayat, and he said, I had made up my mind that I will not read it except in front of you first. And then Imam Mamun Rashid heard the news that Di'bal, such a famous poet of the time, such a famous Arab poet of the Islamic Arab world, is has arrived into the city. So Mamun also attended the gathering, and the Tahut of the time is sitting, and Di'bal is doing the some of the best jihads. When the Prophet has said that afdalul jihad kalimatu haqqin inda imamin ja'ir, the most superior of the jihad is to say the word of truth on the face of the zalim ruler. So Di'bal is doing that. And then when he reaches this shi'r about Imam, ara fay'ahum fi ghayrihim mutakassiman wa aydiyahum an fay'ihim safarati, I see their wealth. Well, fair is not the wealth is not the right translation of fair. We have two kinds of wealths. Like we have ghanimat and we have fair. Ghanimat in our Sharia, we call it those of the wealths that the Islamic army gains after the battle. Whereas fair is those of the wealths which the Islamic army gains without the battle. That's called fair. So he says, أَرَى فَيْأَهُمْ فِي غَيْرِهِمْ مُتَكَسِّمًا, I see this kind of wealth of Ahlul Bayt, of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, being divided already in the hands of others. That means they do not have their own wealth in their control. Others are pleasuring on their wealth. Remember that Fadak, which was usurped, was also part of Fay. Ihtimalan, we don't know exactly. In Arabic they say ma'na shi'r fi batn ash-sha'ir. The real meaning of the verse of the shi'r is in the minds of the sha'ir, so we cannot say, but ihtimal, as a probability, we can say that Di'bal is also pointing towards the same fadak, which is also part of fay, not gharimat. So Di'bal said, ara fay'ahum fi ghayrihim mutaqassiman. Isn't there a jihad in front of Mamun Rashid, who is occupying the fadak from Imam Ridha alayhi salam as well? And Di'bal on the face of Mamun is saying, أَرَى فَيْأَهُمْ فِي غَيْرِهِمْ مُتَقَسِّمًا, I see their fair in the, their wealth in the hands of others. That means their own hands are empty from their own property and wealth. Mamun is currently occupying the fadak from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he heard that shi'r, he started to cry. And he said, you said truth, you said rightly, you said the right thing, O Khuza'i. And then Di'bal said, إِذَا وَتَرُوا مَدُّوا إِلَىٰ وَاتِرِيهِمْ أَكُفًّا عَنِ الْأَوْتَارِ مُنْقَبَضَاتِ, when they are subjected to zulm by others, they never extend their hands in doing zulm reciprocally on others. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he heard that shi'r, he tilted his hand and he said, Bala wallahi munqabadat, yes, I swear to Allah, the hands are in control. That means they're not doing any zulm on anybody. And then finally Di'bal said to Imam Ridha alayhi salam, لَقَدْ خِفْتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَيَّامَ سَعْيِهَا وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُ الْأَمْنَ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِي, I led my life in fear. That means in this dunya, of course, all the supporters of walayat are under the scare and fears and threats and challenges. Isn't that right? That's the nature of supporting walayat. If you want to lead us a life without walayat and just do your personal ibadat, then You may be spared for a while. The kuffar can never be pleased with you because Quran can never turn into a liar. God forbid. Allah will never turn into a liar. God forbid. And they will maybe please for you for a while, short while only. They will never be pleased with you. We must have iman and faith in what Allah has said. That's the final word. So, it's the choice of the people. For a while, they want to compromise their value system. For a short while. Isn't that right? Umar ibn Sa'd said the same. Short while. He was looking for the short-term goal, the government of Ray, which is close to Tehran. Tehran didn't used to exist in those days. That was Ray Sheher in those days. Getting the government of Yazid, which was never given at the end of the day to Umar ibn Sa'd. But he was just fakely promised by Yazid. That's the nature of this dunya. Some people are fakely pursuing mirages in their life and they never get even worldly benefits. And they sell their faith and values for those benefits which will never be achieved at the end of the day. So all the supporters of Walayat were under scares and threats from the enemies and taghuts. That's the nature of support of Walayat. So we find Da'bal said, إِنِّي خِفْتُ لَقَدْ خِفْتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَيَّامَ سَعْيِهَا. Certainly I led a life of fear in this dunya, in other words. And I pray, I hope that Allah provides me a fearless and satisfactory life and peaceful life in akhirat. At least in there I get the peaceful life, in other words. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam said that, may Allah make you peace at peace on the Yawm al-Faza'il Akbar, on the day of the great scare. Day of Judgment has 100+ names in Islam, and one of those 100+ names is Yawm al-Faza'il Akbar, the day of the great scare. May Allah make you at peace on the day of the great scare. So, Imam used to, honor these shu'ara. But we find that Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he was poisoned, in the same qasida, he says, let me add two shi'r in your qasida. وَقَبْرٌ بِتُوسٍ يَا لَهَا مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ أَلَحَّتْ عَلَى الْأَحْشَاءِ بِالزَّفَرَاتِ. There is a grave in Tus, in other words, which is, full of those cries. And Da'bal says to Imam Ridha, Mawla, I don't find any grave of one of you Ahlul Bayt in the province of Tus. And that's where Imam Ridha alayhi salam prophesizes and tells him, soon I will be killed and buried in Tus. In other words. So we find, and then he says, إِلَى الْحَشْرِ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ قَائِمًا يُفَرِّجُ عَنَّ الْحَمَّ وَالْكُرْبَاتِ. So those cries of Ahlul Bayt, those cries will continue till the day of Hashr, until Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is sent. So Imam Mahdi, as we learn in the light of that share, that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the muntaqim, the one who is going to take the revenge from the enemies that have been ignored by the nation of the Prophet for the sake of their conveniences and pleasures of dunya. Imam doesn't care about the conveniences, he's going to take the revenge, come what may. That's the Imam. So we find Imams were going through the pains. Finally, he is poisoned. And when Imam Ridha alayhi salam gets poisoned, we find that Imam Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salam comes miraculously. He was in Medina, but out of the miracle, no one can give the ghusl or kafan or do the dafan for the ma'soom burial except another ma'soom. So Imam Jawad came miraculously all the way from Medina and did all those services. And there is a huge, the history says there was a huge gathering attending the funeral of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. The city was full of the followers of Imam. There was a huge community participating in the janazah, in the services for the Imam. But I would like to say to my Mawla Imam Ridha alayhi salam, that you have a janazah of your grandfather, Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, which is lying in the ground of Karbala. In the plain of Karbala, the janazah of Hussein ibn Ali is lying there. And Hazrat Fidla comes and informs Hazrat Zainab that I have a big news for you. And she replies that after the Shahadat, in other words, after the Shahadat of my her brother Imam Hussein, there's no news remaining big for her any longer. And Hazrat Fizza says, they are about to crush the janaza of Hussein ibn Ali under the hooves of the horses. فَقَامَ عَشْرَةُ فَوَارِسِ 10 horses are now prepared, so they can crush. See, all the janazas of the shuhada were taken away by the people of different tribes. But since Imam Hussein had no tribe, since he had no supporter, so Hussein ibn Ali's janaza is the only one lying on the plain of Karbala, because he has no supporter. So now Imam's janaza is not left alone. He's now about to be crushed under the hooves of the horses. And we find that Imam Hussein's janaza is kept there for 3 days, and nobody comes forward to give the ghusl and kafan to Hussein ibn Ali. Just like Imam Hussein was alone in his life in the final moments, similarly he's alone after his shahadat. Remember in the final moments when Imam Hussein was standing there, and finally there was nobody when he charged over the enemy. Come see the fight of the one who is hungry. Aao ab bhuke ki jang dekho, aao ab pyaase ki jang dekho. Come see the fight of the thirsty. And finally we find Sayyid ibn Ta'ud says, when fa waqafa li yastariha sa'atan wa qad dha'afa 'an al-qital, Imam stopped to relax for a while and he got weak from the fight, so the armies retreated and they surrounded Imam Hussein from all the sides. Everybody is now surrounding Imam Hussein. Somebody who has a sword, he charged over Hussein ibn Ali with a sword, and somebody who had a spear, he attacked over Hussein ibn Ali with a spear. Somebody who had an arrow is throwing the arrow over Hussein ibn Ali, and the person who had nothing of those has throwing stone over Imam Hussein. فَأَصَابَهُ حَجَرٌ عَلَى جَبْهَتِهِ, a stone struck over his forehead. فَخَرَجَ الدَّمُ, the blood came out of his forehead. فَأَخَذَ صَوْبَهُ لِيَمْسَحَ الدَّمُ عَنْ جَبْهَتِهِ, Imam took his cloth to wipe the blood from his forehead. And that was the time the إِذْ أَصَابَهُ سَهْمٌ مَسْمُومٌ ذُو ثَلَاثِ شُعَبٍ, that was the time when the poisoned arrow with 3-pointed poison arrow was aimed on the heart of Imam Hussein. And soon then Imam Hussein had the arrow striking him. For أخرج السهم من وراء ظهره وخرج الدم كأنه ميزاب, Imam took out the arrow from behind his back and the blood came out just like a spout of water gushing out. And Imam said, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know they are killing the person, there is no one on the face of earth who is the son of your prophet other than him. So Imam Hussein was the only son of prophet available being killed. He made Allah he said to Allah about that fact. And finally after a few moments he could not survive over the back of Zuljanah, and Zuljanah realized that Imam is getting so weak, so he kneels down to bring Imam Hussein comfortably over the ground. But Imam did not come over the ground yet, brothers and sisters. Imam's janaza, Imam's body is over the arrows, it's not yet over the ground. And finally we find when Hazrat Zainab is standing there over the Tillai Zainabiya, wa shimru jalisun ala sadrihi, and Shimr is sitting over the chest of the Imam and holding the beard from his one hand and slaughtering Imam Hussein with the other hand of his, from the behind the back of Imam Hussein, behind the back of his neck. And Hazrat Zainab is standing over Tillai Zainabiya and watching the scene. She did not stay silent over the zulm for her entire life. She protested even at that occasion and protested to Umar ibn Saad, "Ayuqtalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilayhi?" In other words, Imam Hussein is being killed and you are watching it.
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بعلها پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما ہماری اس قلیل عبادت کو قبول فرما ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاه محمد